First of all, I'd like to thank you very much for the opportunity to tell my story here today. Monica's agreed to come along to hold my hand, so to speak, but I perhaps also might have some things to offer as we go along. She's shaking her head at me.
No, smiling and nodding. I just wanted to say,
first of all, that my submission was a very brief submission and was really focused on our family, our personal stories of our family, it's not intended to be a comprehensive submission in any way, shape or form, and in fact it really just tells the story of our family, and there's probably a whole lot of other areas that particularly in the area of work-related and financial benefits that I mightn't have included, that we may have experienced discrimination in, but I have to confess I'm not the financially literate one in our family. I suspect my four-year-old's probably more financially literate than I am, so when someone mentions superannuation, I tend to run away. I thought I'd just begin maybe by outlining a few of the key points of our submission, and then I'm happy to answer questions or make further comments.
Sure.
My submission really focused on our family, not just our relationship. Mary and I have been in a committed relationship for around about 13 years, which is a bit shocking when one adds it up. And we have two children, Hannah, who turned four on last Saturday, and Ava, who is just now two. And because of our relationship, they subsequently experienced financial discrimination. And the first one that I really talked about was in their inheritances, particularly because each of us had other birth mothers of each one of our children, if that makes sense. And so there is no legal relationship between Hannah and I and Ava and Marion. And because of that, if my parents left a bequest to their grandchildren and named it in that way in their will, then Hannah wouldn't automatically be entitled to that bequest, and it would be really down to the discretion of the executor, and if there were any dispute, then she wouldn't be legally entitled, because she's not legally doesn't have a legal relationship with her grandparents, my parents. Probably won't make a whole lot of difference in our family's case, but if you were the Packers, it could be fairly serious. I think that would... I suspect that lack of legal relationship, which we can't remedy here in Victoria because we can't adopt each other's children, we can't adopt our own children-in-law, and adoption would actually probably solve that because it creates a legal relationship. We have got court orders through the family court which give us residency and responsibilities for our children and limit the responsibilities of the donor. However, they expire when the children turn 18. They're only for children, court orders in the family court. And so when Hannah turns 18, there is no longer any legal relationship that I'll have with Hannah, and she won't in-law be my daughter. And aside from the emotional difficulties, I mean, I don't even know where that will go in all of the areas of the law and what that will mean. Obviously, where there is a legal relationship, when in any area of law where they talk about children, if they don't recognise my relationship with Hannah, then that's that has the potential to create discrimination. So my view is that the ability to be able to adopt our own children would be a big step to remedy that problem. Workplace leave and entitlements are another area that we've experienced discrimination, particularly when our children were born. Socially, we've been really lucky, I think, but we haven't experienced any discrimination. Everyone that we've come across have accepted our family structure, including childcare centres, hospitals. Because when you've got children, of course, you invariably end up in hospital from time to time, and that has never been a difficulty, and we've never had to present the court orders in order to be able to make decisions on behalf of our children, which has been great, but they're there. That's a big relief as well. Workplace leave entitlements around around the birth of the children is another area that we have experienced some difficulty, particularly with rigidity around paternity leave and family leave entitlements. And in our case, Marion needed to take holidays in order to be around at the birth, and that's really difficult because you can't put holiday leave in advance because you don't know when he is going to arrive. You've got to kind of ballpark, but it's give or take a couple of weeks, really, up to a month, so that can be quite difficult. And the other one is around family leave. Under my award, I could take leave without pay to look after my child, whether I was a man or a woman, within the first 12 months of that child's life. And Marion did return to work at about 7 months, and I actually resigned from my job so that I could be the full-time carer of Hannah. And really, it's up to the discretion of was up to the discretion of my employer as to whether or not I'd be able to take leave without pay for that time. Medicare and the PBS, I think, Ms. Dennis, you've actually already kind of outlined in your submission, and that's certainly something that we've experienced, where we can't have our children, we can't be a family when it comes to the PBS and the Medicare safety net, and therefore one of us can't contribute. One of us is considered a single and can't contribute to the families, racking up the points when it comes to medication. Childcare was an area that we've experienced a lot of confusion, really. The childcare centre initially tried to recognise our family by putting the children under the same code, and then discovered pretty quickly that that's impossible because the federal government doesn't recognise our relationship and doesn't recognise our family. And so each of our children had to have a different number, whatever that is, and so were counted separately. And our childcare benefits and what the entitlements that you get under the federal government, I don't even know what they're called. This is my financial illiteracy again. because Marion works full-time, works for the Victorian Public Service, we don't really receive any federal government support for her childcare. But because I work 3 days and look after the two kids the other days, I get about 78% benefit. so because our relationship isn't recognised, I think that there's certainly discrimination there. tax is another area that I don't know very much about, but I do know that we weren't able to claim each other as dependents, particularly around the time that our children were born, and we were entirely financially dependent upon each other at various times while the babies were really young and we weren't working. And I think that all of these things are really, I think it's significant because our financial arrangements are that we're completely dependent upon each other in our financial arrangements. We both own the house and we both share the mortgages, actually, the houses. And all of our bank accounts are joint, and all of our income is pooled. And our expenses are pooled. So our financial arrangements are as they are for my parents, really, and probably for most heterosexually married couples, and certainly that any of the disadvantages then impact on our whole family. And I guess the final thing that I'd like to say is that the financial discrimination isn't a major problem for us because we're comfortable. But I'd imagine that, and my work is with disadvantaged people, and I imagine that people who don't have a lot of money, any financial discrimination can be very, very significant. And they probably aren't talking about superannuation. They're probably talking about pensions and childcare benefits and access to a lot of the government financial support systems. And when our families aren't recognised, and that can be a really significant disadvantage for people who don't have a lot. So I'm in a luxurious position of not needing to worry too much and not needing to know too much about things like superannuation, although I'm sure I'd be better off if I did know about these things. I think that it's very important that this inquiry is particularly important for people who have a bit less than we do. And finally, I'd just like to say that the financial is one issue, but actually the emotional stress is a much greater issue. And having to talk to people about your family structure and try and explain it to Centrelink workers, for example, who often just don't get it, and then when they do, they don't even know what their policies are. And so we've actually chased down a lot of white rabbits, really trying to find good advice and good information, because people just don't know. And in the 21st century, they don't expect that that same-sex relationships would experience discrimination in the way that we do. So people that I talk to are really shocked that our relationships aren't fully recognised in our workplace entitlements and in our government benefits in this day and age. And I think that it's really time that the government caught up.
Thanks, Janice. That's certainly one of the things that we've discovered as we've moved around, that just lots of people aren't aware of this situation. I've got a couple of questions quickly for you, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Can you provide a brief outline of what you had to go through in order to obtain the court orders that you talked about?
We actually had a pretty terrible experience, and because of that, the family court changed the way that they did it. So when Hannah was about 9 months old, Hannah's our first daughter, we decided that we would try and obtain court orders, and we decided that we should be able to do this ourselves, because you are supposed to be able to do this yourself. So with a little bit of help from friends, we drafted our own court orders and rolled up at the court and tried to lodge them, and our first obstacle was that they felt that they weren't orders by consent, because the girl's father was on the birth certificate, and we needed to be putting them into it needed to be in a dispute framework. So even though was present and he was there and he'd signed everything and he was very happy to take absolutely no responsibility, financial or otherwise, for the girls except to have coffee with them every week, we needed to be put into a dispute situation. And then the next problem was, who is the applicant and who is the respondent? And in fact, in the end, it needed to be three people. So I think that Marion was the applicant and I were the respondent. The family court then sent us to mediation, and this was at Christmas, so we were sitting in the family court amongst people who were really feuding over their children at Christmas time, wasting the court's resources in what was essentially a consensual matter. And we ended up before a judge who then ordered us to have a family report, at which point I was actually about 2 weeks pregnant and very ill, and we decided to withdraw our application and wait until the second child came and try it again.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, I had a very dear friend who used to work in the family court, and we were able to raise some of the issues with the family court, and through the gay and lesbian rights lobby and other gay and lesbian activists, and the family court improved their processes around how lesbian couples were able to obtain court orders for their families. And so the second time round was much simpler. We simply got a consent kit. I don't know what the correct words are, and there are people who are here today who will be able to give you the correct titles of all of these forms.
Mm.
But they were able to fill out the form. It was very clear about who was the applicant and who was the respondent. Mm. Was able to write a letter supporting the orders, and then they were posted to us in the post. So the second time round, it was very simple, and and the court resources were much more limited in terms of the expenditure.
Sure. Yep. Okay, that's great. Look, thank you very much for that. Appreciate you giving us your time and sharing, some very personal issues with the inquiry. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Janet. Thanks, Monica.